Administrative leave. It can be a nightmare for managers whose employees go out on it. It costs the government $3 billion every year. Now, a bipartisan pair of senators has gotten the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee to approve a bill to reform it. The bill is getting a thumbs up from the Federal Managers Association. National President Patricia Niehaus explained why.
Administrative leave is not just used for union duties. It's frequently used when an investigation is going on, if an employee may pose a hazard in the workplace. There's a large variety of uses for administrative leave, and it's generally lumped into one category. So you can't really look at the use of administrative leave by a particular group or agency and say, oh, they're overusing it, because there's so many different uses for it.
So, and that means in some cases the employees themselves don't have any control over it if they're called in for an investigation or this type of thing.
Well, admin leave is not usually used when they're called in for an investigation. It's usually used during the investigative process to take them out of the workplace.
So in the given week or month or year in a federal manager's life, how often does this become an issue?
For an individual manager, probably once or twice in a career. But there have been abuses reported a lot in the press lately. You know, the administrator at the archives who was on administrative leave for 2 years. Generally, it's much shorter term. But I think what Congress is looking at is putting some fences around when that's appropriate and maybe providing some incentives for investigations to be completed in a more timely manner. A manager who has an employee out on administrative leave pending an investigation being completed, they're having to have someone else do that work. The employee has to be in a state of anxiety, wondering what's going to happen to them. They're sitting at home not doing anything productive, and they may very well be able to be assigned other work, or, you know, just having the investigation done in a more timely manner would be beneficial to everybody.
So the toughest part of this falls on the immediate supervisor or the head of that work group or bureau. And so I guess that would entail some kind of a convincing that you need resources or people up the chain of command.
Yes, I think so. And I think that it often seems like the easier solution when you're doing an investigation, just get them out of the workplace. That may not be necessary. You know, depending on what the charge is that's being investigated, there may not be any problem with the person staying in the workplace. But we do hear a lot from our managers that higher levels of management want just say, get them out of the workplace until we're done, and then we'll take care of it.
So the Administrative Leave Act, what is it that you like about that, that it would change from a federal manager standpoint?
It makes it easier to account for the administrative leave. You have specific categories within that for, okay, you have an investigation category. You have a period where if you have an employee who is going to be removed or who's received a proposal, there's a 30-day notice period generally for proposals between the proposal to remove and the decision being affected. During that period of time, it can be very disruptive to have that person in the work center. So having that category separates that out from a 2-year investigation period or whatever. So I just think it makes it easier to account for the time and to show that it's not being abused.
So you back this bill because it would just make it easier for managers, and sounds like easier for the employee affected also.
You know, we as managers, we have a responsibility to be good stewards of the public dollars. And I think that being able to specifically account for how we're using administrative leave, which is paid time off to do nothing, basically, is necessary. I think it protects the manager, and it protects the employee, and it protects the agency.
All right. So while we have you, what other legislative changes are you looking at or do you see as promising or would you like to see in the coming Congress, presuming you can get any work done while it's not arguing about the Supreme Court or not arguing about the budget?
And in an election year.
And an election year.
Yes. One of the things that we've been pursuing is the extension of the probationary period. Some of our managers have reported to us that their employees are not trained at the end of the 1-year probationary period. They're still in the training process, so they haven't even had a chance to observe them on the job. So what we would like to see is at least 1 year after the end of the training period for that job, so the supervisor gets the full year to observe them on the job.
We're speaking with Patricia Niehaus, National President of the Federal Managers Association. So that means you would like to see the probationary period start sometime after the start of employment in that job.
Yes, it would start once they completed their training for the position and were able to be on the job and actually performing the duties. For example, FAA air traffic controllers are sent to school. They're working, they're learning, but they're not in an air traffic control situation. Social Security claims workers, they're trained in a classroom setting, and then they get before the public. And believe me, it's a very different skill set to learn benefits on paper than it is to sit in front of an elderly person and explain to them what they are or are not going to get.
Often these things take a year or so to really get good at once you have been trained.
Yes, and that way, and the original intent of the probationary period was that it be an extension of the hiring process to enable a supervisor to determine whether the employee was suitable for federal employment and that particular job.
Now, there have been some gambits in the Senate to try to make the probationary period 2 years for senior managers. And what's your take on that one?
I think it depends on the position. Some positions, you know, for example, you have some positions where a person has to come in able to just walk in and take on and do the job. Those positions have very specific requirements. So a longer probationary period may not be necessary for them. But if you have a very complex position that requires a lot of training, where the person is out of the work area doing that training, then I think it is beneficial to have a longer period.
And what's your association's thoughts as you look at what's happening with the Senior Executives Association? Some of your members aspire to that. Some might be in it. A lot of them are managers, but not senior executives. But there's been a lot of talk about limiting some of their Merit Systems Protection Board rights and some of the appeal available to them and so on. These are, you know, Title V types of jobs and processes. What does it look like from the FMA standpoint?
Now, we don't support limiting appeal rights. They were put in place for a reason, to avoid the politicization of the federal service, and that includes the senior executives as well as managers. There's a reason for those appeal rights, to have an independent review board look at a removal or a long-term suspension or demotion. And there was a valid reason to put that in there. And I think the reason is still valid. I don't think that has changed.
Because once something starts at one agency, say VA, what's to stop it from spreading across and down the ranks?
Exactly.
Patricia Niehaus is national president of the Federal Managers Association. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.